from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us today as we have a special edition of Washington Watch. Now, I don't do this very often, but occasionally I run across a book or a speech that has such timely and important insight that would be, I think, so beneficial to you as one of our listeners that I devote the entire program to the topic. Doesn't happen often, but today is one of those occasions. Now, I think few would argue with the statement that America is a divided nation and growing more divided by the day. Now, many would be quick to say that, well, that's our politics, that we have become so, that our politics have become, well, so divisive, that they're dividing us. Well, that's a quick, easy answer. But could it be that our politics are simply a reflection, or better yet, a symptom of the division and not the cause? See, I think the division is much deeper. I think the division over who we are, the division is over who we are and who we should be and who we will be as a nation. There are two very different contrasting or conflicting views or visions for America. See, I think America is in the throes of an identity crisis. Could be similar to the crisis of identity that often accompanies midlife, what's called a midlife crisis. But nonetheless, what's at stake in this identity crisis is our liberty and the liberty of future Americans. Author and social critic Dr. Oz Guinness has captured this crisis, I believe, quite well in his book entitled Last Call for Liberty. Now, Oz is the great-great-great-grandson of Arthur Guinness, the Dublin brewer. He was born in China in World War II, where his parents were medical missionaries. He was later educated in England at the University of London and earned his doctorate of philosophy at Oriel College, Oxford. He has written or edited more than 30 books. He moved to the United States in 1984 with a deep appreciation for America. He was the lead drafter of the Williamsburg Charter in 1988, which was a celebration of the bicentennial of the U.S. Constitution, and later authored the lead drafter for the Global Charter of Conscience, which was published at the European Union Parliament in 2012. With that, Dr. Guinness, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me on. It's a great pleasure to be with you again.
Well, I have, during my break in August, I finished reading your book, Last Call for Liberty, and it was so captivating, and I thought so accurately articulated the crisis that is before us. And so I would just start with this. Would it be accurate to say that America is in the throes of an identity crisis?
No, it's absolutely accurate, tragically. And I argue in the book that, you know, there are many explanations of divisions, the so-called coastals, New York, California against the Heartlanders in the Midwest and so on. Or more importantly, people say it's the nationalists and populists who are behind President Trump against the globalists like George Soros. And I think none of those explanations do justice to the real problem. You've got a division between people who understand America, the Republic, and above all, freedom from within the framework of the American Revolution, which was decisively biblical through the Reformation, and those who see America and freedom through the French Revolution, 1789. If you look at all sorts of things swirling through America in the last 50 years, political correctness, postmodernism, the sexual revolution, most recently this rage for socialism, each of those, all of those, go back to the French Revolution and its ideas, not to the American Revolution. So America is at a very, very crucial stage. Does she want to go with 1776 or with 1789? And they lead to entirely different positions.
And as you unpack this in the book, Liberty's Last Call, the essence of this, it's not a rhetorical question. This is a very practical and real question that is going to be answered one way or the other, and the consequences are quite profound on how we answer this question.
No, absolutely. You look at the French Revolution, the reign of terror and the growth of the state and various things like that. And you can see that the logic of many of the movements tend in that same direction. Or you could say, look at the sexual revolution. If you read the architects of that, which go back to the Marquis de Sade and Wilhelm Reich and people like that, they're quite open. They will never win unless they, one, remove parents, sex education 3 and 4, and two, overcome the church. And they quite deliberately want to overturn 3,000 years of Western civilization and put in a new one. So we're really up against something that is absolutely decisive. And I would argue this would spell the decline of America as we know it, and also drive in another nail into the coffin of the West as we've known it. So it's a very, very important thing.
And as you very accurately lay out in your book with current examples, this is unfolding right before us. But what I find interesting in your book, that you don't call for a redoubling of the culture war. You're calling for some that is somewhere, somehow, there has to be a breakthrough to find common ground between the two sides, not compromise on those founding principles of 1776, but appealing to even those that on the left that understand the importance of these principles, even to liberalism.
Well, if you think to the only comparable period, which was the late 1850s, the difference between then and now is the voice of Abraham Lincoln. Because he addressed what he called the better angels of the American experiment. And he always cited the Declaration. And you can see that with Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, or Booker T. Washington, or even Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King talked about the promissory note of the Declaration. Whereas the forces on the progressive secular left today, they're dismissing the Declaration altogether. Take the kneeling controversy. Right. So what we lack is someone, you know, the president rightly says, make America great again. Well, what he needs to do is say why America was great in the first place, and then call people back to that in the same way that Abraham Lincoln did.
You're listening to Washington Watch, a special edition of Washington Watch. My special guest, Oz Guinness, author of the latest book he's authored, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. And let me just start there. Let me go back to that point, because I think you define some terms in the book and spell out some things that I think are crucial to understanding the way forward. And part of this is the basic philosophical understanding of freedom, both positive and negative freedom, which has biblical connotations to it. And I think we see this even on the right with the rise of libertarianism, that we're losing the understanding of what true freedom is and the foundation for freedom, which I think is a part of your book saying your argument here is that our freedom is a threat to freedom if it's not contained within the boundaries.
That's right. Freedom is the greatest enemy to freedom, ironically. But I was at Oxford with Isaiah Berlin. I used to sit under him. He always stressed that freedom had a negative aspect and a positive aspect. Negative freedom is essential, foundational. It's freedom from. No one is free who's under the domination or mastery of anyone else or anything else. It could be drugs or alcohol or whatever, or it could be colonial power or a bully. No one is free without negative freedom. Freedom from. And, of course, that's deeply biblical. We're freed from sin, etc., etc. But then the other half of freedom is freedom for, freedom to be. That's positive freedom and full freedom. And you can see that to have that, you need truth. You need to know who you are and the way you're supposed to live. And you can see, if you look around American freedom today, both on the left and the right, the libertarian individualistic freedom, the idea if you just get people off our backs, our bank balances, the conservatives say, our bodies, the liberals say, then we'll be free. No, that's only the beginning of freedom. And you can see that a huge amount of contemporary freedom is romantic and is unrealistic and unsustainable. And so you've got to start challenging people to look at what real freedom. Take the great word of Jesus. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, we're in a postmodern age where people have thrown out truth. But without truth, you simply cannot be free. And that's just the beginning of the discussion of how we've got to restore the foundations of what freedom actually is.
And again, that there's two conflicting views. I think symbolically or really practically displayed in both the contrast between 1776 and 1789.
No, absolutely. Now, 1776 was immensely realistic. You take, say, John Witherspoon, his stress on sin in human nature, and Madison's whole notion of picking up separation of powers, checks and balances, ambition needed to counter ambition. Now, that's incredibly different, say, from the French Revolution, dominated by Rousseau, who believed in the essential goodness of human nature and a state of nature, which is absolutely naive. So Rousseau's idea, man is born free, but everywhere's in chains. So if you remove the chain wherever you find it, we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled. Now, that comes out in the sexual revolution. You know, Reich's idea that you just find repression wherever you have it, remove it, and then we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled. That's absolutely naive. And you can see that basic difference between the American Revolution and its biblical roots and the French Revolution and its naive utopian roots, incredibly important. One will lead to genuine freedom, the other to disaster.
But Dr. Guinness, we have history that also shows that the freedom of 1776 has led to one of the most prosperous, powerful nations in the world, juxtaposed to the French.
No, that's right. And we look at the state of communism in its hard form or socialism in its slightly less hard form, and they have always been disastrous. You know, there's a famous book by a Canadian scholar called Voltaire's Bastards. In other words, the Enlightenment, far from producing enlightenment, freedom, toleration, and so on, has produced world wars and genocide and all sorts of absolute disasters. And so we've got to be very clear about which we're choosing. In other words, America is rather like the time of Israel in Elijah's day, sitting on the fence. And the question is, will they follow the Lord and go back to the Lord, or follow Baal in its modern equivalence?
Dr. Guinness, we're up against a break. When we come back from this break, I want to ask you this question. How critical is religious freedom in solving this issue of the identity crisis that America is facing? Folks, Dr. Oz Guinness, my guest, author of The Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. It's an excellent book. You can find out more how to get a copy at your bookstore, or go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over it. But also, in here, we're going to talk about the way forward. It's not just talking about the problem. Dr. Guinness lays out some solutions. So we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Oz Guinness on the other side of this break. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Did you know that Family Research Council just published a new series on forming a biblical worldview? In these publications, David Clawson, Director of Christian Ethics and Biblical Worldview at FRC, addresses the complex moral questions and issues prevalent in our society today. Clawson discusses the biblical basis behind these moral issues and urges Christians to stand firm on the foundational truths of the Bible. Today, there is widespread biblical illiteracy. Americans are unaware of what the Bible says, and even professing Christians have difficulty defending a biblical ethic. As a result, Christian beliefs are increasingly dismissed as outdated or even seen as hateful. The Biblical Worldview series seeks to bridge this gap by solidifying Christians in their biblical worldview so they are ready to give an answer for the hope that is in them. The first three publications in this series discuss the biblical and historical basis for life, religious liberty, and political engagement. To learn more, visit frc.org/worldview.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics, but they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christian's call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
Religious liberty is one of the most important yet misunderstood issues in America. There's a growing perception that protecting religious liberty is an attempt to lawfully allow bigotry and prejudice. Therefore, Christians need to be able to articulate with greater clarity and persuasiveness why they support religious liberty. Biblical Principles for Religious Liberty, Evidence from Scripture and Church History, is a new publication from Family Research Council that presents biblical and theological arguments for why religious liberty is worth defending and encourages Christians to engage in the fight to preserve America's first freedom. This publication presents key biblical texts that support a broad understanding of religious freedom and key theological arguments based on those texts. In an increasingly secular world, Christians must understand and advocate for religious liberty. Learn more by visiting frc.org/belief.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us today. My special guest, Dr. Oz Guinness, author of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. Now, during the month of August, I took some time away from the microphone and other things and was just catching up on some projects at home and also doing some reading. And one of the books that I finished, I started it actually several months ago, but, you know, get a lot of interruptions. But I finished it during the month of August. And it was such a timely work in, I think, encapsulating the challenge that's before America. And I think putting it in a realistic, I think he put it in such a way that there's an urgency here. And this is not just another, you know, partisan political debate. This really is about America's future. And if we don't get it right, I don't think there will be any do-overs. I mean, I think we have a choice to make, and it's going to have to be made. And I think we're getting closer and closer to that point of decision. Dr. Guinness, I want to talk about the essential nature of religion, religious freedom, which is, you know, you make reference to Richard Neuhaus's the Naked Public Square, and how there is this effort to remove religion from the public square, which is really the undoing of freedom.
Well, for 300 years and more, America has had the world's or history's best view of religious freedom for everyone. It wasn't perfect. The Jews sometimes caught in the neck. The nativism was against the Catholics in the 1830s. But it was by far the best that any nation in the world has ever done. And yet in the last 20 years, a huge sea change. I call it the three dark R's. You've got the reducers, who turn religious freedom into freedom of worship only, which is a very shrunken idea. You've got the removers, mainly following 9/11, who'd like to remove religion from public life altogether. But the worst of the three are the ones I call the rebranders, who've turned religious freedom upside down and say that it's instead of the first liberty, which is what the framers called it, it is a code word for bigotry and prejudice and so on. So you've got forces working their way out in America now, all on the progressive secular left, that are absolutely disastrous to religious freedom, which essentially is the freedom to be faithful. And so what's happening now is incredibly important.
Talk a little bit about, because I think this, again, illustrates so critically how these pieces all come together, the golden triangle of freedom.
Well, the challenge of freedom is not just to win it. You know, all the revolutions have done that. You replace the ancien regime, whatever it was, with the revolution. That's winning freedom. Then you have ordering freedom. You know, the French, the Russians, the Chinese didn't do that. The genius of the American Revolution was ordering freedom. That's the Constitution rather than the revolution. But the real challenge of freedom is not just winning it or ordering it, it's sustaining it. How do you keep it going for years, decades, centuries? That's the real challenge, and freedom never lasts. And I think the framers had a brilliant system. They didn't give it a name. I call it the golden triangle of freedom. Freedom requires virtue, first leg. Virtue requires faith of some sort, second leg of the triangle. And the third leg, faith of any sort, requires freedom. And like the recycling triangle, it goes round and round and round. Freedom requires virtue, which requires faith, which requires freedom, which requires virtue. Now, of course, if one understands that, another key link in it, it has to be handed on. There has to be transmission. In other words, you need civic education so that every generation passes it on to the next generation. And that, too, is broken down. So today, each of the legs of the golden triangle have been challenged by the secular left, and the whole place of handing it on, civic education, has been thrown out. So put simply, America does not have a way of transmitting freedom, and that extraordinary poll report in the Wall Street Journal this weekend shows it decisively.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a moment, because I do think that does point to how we are we're not passing this on from one generation to the next. But as you point to this golden triangle of freedom, very similar to George Washington's farewell address to the nation, talking about those pillars that uphold this republic. And the idea that we cannot have morality, in his words, without religion, that the two are entwined. If we want virtue, if we want that behavior which is civil and acceptable in public, it has to be undergirded by an acceptance of religious standards that come from without.
You put it well, Tony. And the trouble is today in America, like much of the West, we are a cut flower civilization. In other words, flowers can last a considerable time in a vase cut from the ground, but they won't last forever because the roots have gone. And you can see that's happening in place after place after place in America today. So you take, say, human rights. Only the Bible, the Jewish and Christian scriptures, give you the grounding that humans are made in the image of God. Or very, very crucially, the very notion of freedom. Outside of the Bible, you don't have the grounding for freedom. So, our atheist friends like Sam Harris, he's got a book on freedom. And the front cover is of a puppet, because there's no grounding for freedom in atheism. And as we've gone down the line, we've become a cut flower civilization.
You hear that music, Dr. Guinness? We're up against another break. Hold right there. Hold that thought. I want to come back. I want to make reference. You made reference to the Wall Street Journal NBC poll about a shift in values, what people in America say matter most. We're going to talk about that and its implications for America's freedom. Dr. Oz Guinness, my guest in this special edition of Washington Watch, talking about his latest book, Last Call for Liberty. We're going to continue our conversation on the other side of the break. Don't go away. More still to come. News. We can get it from many sources, but what can you trust these days? Where can you get news that doesn't make you as suspicious as you are informed? If you're looking for something better, for honest coverage of the latest news, one trusted news source I look to is the Washington Times. When preparing for the radio program and selecting guests to join me on the show, I will often read the Washington Times and have their reporters join me here on the program because I trust how they cover the news. Join me and more than 7 million readers who turn to the Washington Times every month to get real, trusted news. For a limited time only, listeners of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins will receive a special annual rate of $69.95 for the first year. Subscribe to the Washington Times and get this special offer by using my name and visiting washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins. That's washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Glad you've joined us for this special edition of Washington Watch. Occasionally I will do this. I find a good book, lecture, or something that I think is very timely and beneficial to all of our listeners. And this is such a case. Oz Guinness, latest book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. I've recommended this to our entire staff at FRC and to others, and I would encourage you to pick up a copy. It's very insightful, and I think so clearly articulates the situation in the United States today, the choice that's before us, and the potential outcome, and how serious this choice is. Dr. Guinness, thanks again for sticking around and joining us in this conversation. I think it's a fascinating book. I was thinking of you when I saw recently the Wall Street Journal NBC poll that said Americans have shifted dramatically on what values matter most. And it's being driven mainly by younger generations, where they rate patriotism, religion, and having children as less important to them than did young people two decades ago. In fact, in the last 20 years, roughly, 61% of the new survey cited patriotism as very important to them, down 9% points from 1998. 50% cited religion. That's down 12 points. And some 43% placed a high value on having children. That's down 16 points from 1998. To me, that indicates we have a problem.
An immense problem. No, you're right, Tony, that's an extraordinarily significant poll. But the trouble is Americans tend to look at polls as sort of snapshots, the numbers of the day, rather than really explore their meaning. And if you look at the collapse of the numbers between the silent generation, the boomers, right down to Generation Z, one of the basic shocks in that is the collapse of transmission. It's not being passed down. Now, the significance of that is that both freedom and faith require handing on. You know, as the rabbis point out, what did Moses talk about the night of the Passover? He didn't talk about freedom. He didn't talk about going free. He didn't talk about the promised land. He didn't talk about the challenge of the howling wilderness there to cross. He talked about, three times, children. And again and again, you have that stress in the Torah and in covenantal societies. And, of course, the American Constitution comes from the Hebrew covenant, and it requires transmission. If it's not passed down from parents to kids, from teachers to students, and above all in the public schools through civic education, it collapses. And what you're seeing in that poll should be a terrible warning to America. The Republic, as the framers set it up, is on its last legs if that sort of a situation continues.
And I think the problem, one of the problems, is that parents have farmed out this education to either the churches for their spiritual education and to their schools for their civic and historical education.
Well, I'm not sure there's much civic education in the schools. There is in the private schools, Christian and Catholic and others, but not much in the public schools.
Well, that's my point.
Well,
it's not happening.
A lot of other factors behind that, the crisis of the family. I mean, fathers have been challenged, toxic masculinity and all that. So there's an incredible lack of confidence among fathers. There are many other factors. But the family, I mentioned earlier, the sexual revolution wants to replace parents. And that's the whole point of bringing in sex education at 3 and 4. You want to just drive parents out altogether. But put it all together, what it means is no transmission. You know, many of us remember mm-hmm. the Beijing Olympics in 08. It was the first time since there have been relays that America had no one at all on the podium. And the reason wasn't just there was a Usain Bolt who was rather fast. The main reason was the American runners dropped baton. And what you can see happening in American culture today is that America is dropping the baton that next generation isn't being passed on to. Now, sadly, that's true in the church, too. You say a biblical illiteracy among Christian churches is the same problem.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think you see this precipitous drop in the importance of religion among the younger generation. And it reminds me Ronald Reagan, who had a quote attributed to him, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." And that requires that each and every family, each parent, be involved in educating, instilling, and really challenging their children to embrace 1776 and all that that means. And I think your book is a great way to do that. All right, another break coming up. Dr. Guinness, on the other side of this break, here's what I want to do. I want to talk about the way forward. You know, I think we've, in the time we've had, we've articulated the challenge that's before us. But in the book, you lay out a way forward. And I want to make this very practical. So when we come back, we're going to be talking to our listeners about what they can do to preserve America's unique liberty, not just for themselves, but for their children and their children's children. All right, folks, more with Dr. Oz Guinness, author of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. Again, a great read. Encourage you to pick up a copy. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a way forward.
Today, more than ever, there is a need to pass fetal dignity laws. In 2010, the police raided the abortion clinic of Dr. Kermit Gosnell and discovered jars with the remains of unborn babies. In 2019, another abortionist, Dr. Ulrich Klopfer, was exposed for hiding the remains of thousands of unborn babies in plastic bags in the trunk of his old car. And in 2015, videos from the Center for Medical Progress uncovered an industry where aborted baby body parts are being harvested and sold for research. The trafficking of aborted babies funds the abortion industry and incentivizes harmful practices such as late-term abortion, altering abortion methods solely to preserve remains for sale, violating patient privacy, and even killing children born alive in order to harvest their organs. All states should ensure the respectful burial of unborn children killed in abortion and prohibit the sale and trafficking of baby body parts. To learn more about fetal dignity laws, visit frc.org/fetal dignity.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. I want to invite you to join Luana and myself, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through June the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Abortion is one of the most combative and sensitive moral and political questions in America today, even among Christians. There has been a renewed effort in theological liberal Christian circles to argue that the Bible does not oppose abortion. In light of these arguments, it is crucial for Christians to know what the Bible actually says about abortion. Does the Bible teach that life begins at conception or birth? Is abortion murder? In FRC's new publication titled Biblical Principles for Pro-Life Engagement, Personhood, Scripture, and Church History, author David Clausen addresses these questions with relevant passages in the Bible that inform how a Christian should think about abortion, the question of personhood, and a survey of how prominent church leaders have interpreted these passages throughout history. Learn more by visiting frc.org/unborn. That's frc.org/unborn.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss any of this interview earlier with Dr. Guinness, you can find it all later at TonyPerkins.com. And again, I would encourage you to get a copy of this book and really, you know, share it with your family. When we talk about passing this along, this is a great book to do that. Not only does it talk about the history and the juxtaposing the American Revolution with the French Revolution, the ideas which are still, in fact, more prominent today, I think, than in any time in recent history in the United States, those two competing worldviews, but also what is at stake in the future and how we can bring about a solution. Dr. Guinness, thanks for sticking around as we wrap this up. I want to quote from you in the book. You say that there can be no truce between 1776 and 1789. The clash of freedoms has to be settled in favor of one way or another. Now, that you also say this is not just to ratchet up the voices on both sides, but rather to find a way forward. And one of the things that you use as an illustration of a potential way forward is the Williamsburg Charter that you were a part of. Explain that.
Well, that was 30 years ago when I saw coming, as a newcomer to this country then, that America needed it so deeply to renew the understanding of religious freedom. Things have got even worse now, and so that's deeply important. But as we go forward, I think two things are absolutely essential. You know, one is a Lincoln-like leader who can really put the issue. In other words, to make America great again, we need to go back and see what made it great in the first place. And that's where we need someone to heighten the crisis the way you've done it so well today. Someone needs to do that at the very highest level, the president, the vice president, senator, whoever, to really call America back to the real issues. But the second is we are a constitutional society, and you can see in the Bible and down through history, societies like that go forward best by going back first. And that isn't reactionary, It's actually progressive. And so there needs to be, you think of what Ezra or earlier Hezekiah and others did, or even Joshua in his time, they called the nation back, because as Moses says at the end of Deuteronomy, remember, 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 never forget. America's forgotten where it came from. And there needs to be, instead of, say, July the 4th, a big parade of military power on, say, the Mall, there needs to be a national rededication. And I hope in the next 5 years, some American leader will lead America in a national rededication with understanding to what made America great in the first place, because this is a country by intention and by ideas, and it's beliefs and ideals that are absolutely critical. Now, that should be done not in a way that drives the wedge, but rather in a way which includes, reminds Americans and pulls them back to the greatness. Because American freedom, properly understood, sadly it wasn't consistent. Think of slavery. Wrongs had to be put right, but in the light of the better angels. And we've got to call Americans back to the greatness of their founding.
But there are some who, as we saw in the French Revolution, who find religion in the public space unacceptable and will not. And so we're not going to see everyone come along. But you put forth in here the idea that there are some in the sense of classic liberalism, those who, you know, may not agree on everything, but can agree that the core principles of American freedom, that golden triangle of freedom, is essential to America going forward for all people. And we're such a frayed fabric of a society that if we don't find some common ground soon, there's not going to be much left.
No, you're exactly right, Tony, again. You know, I like the way Dennis Prager constantly says, we're talking about the progressive secular left when we're pointing out the problems, not the true liberal. And so we've got to appeal to the better angels. But you also highlighted the incredible significance of what came out of the French Revolution, a militant animosity to religion, and specifically to the Christian faith. Now, you can see that is growing almost weekly in America, and that is extremely dangerous. Because I think as the better thinkers like Dostoevsky, Camus, and many others have pointed out, when you try and get rid of God, Friedrich Nietzsche style, you will eventually replace it with demons. And that's the danger. In other words, you don't just get rid of God and become happily secular. You know, you drive out one thing and the house is filled with seven times worse types of demons.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So tremendous stakes are at play, say in the next election and all that's coming up in the next 2 or 3 years.
You know, this is a difficult one for Christians, because we've laid out here a challenge to religious expression, religion in the public square, which is essential to freedom. And so we can't wave a white flag and retreat. But at the same time, we don't want to be combative in standing for that freedom. It's really, as Ephesians talks about, speaking the truth in love. We need to speak the truth, stand for the truth, be unyielding for the truth, but in such a way that it is not combative.
No, that's right. And, you know, whether we're looking at someone like Wilberforce in his time, the most vilified man in the world, but he was humble, he was gracious, he loved his enemies, he also had the gift of humor, and eventually he won many of his enemies and certainly won the issue. And you can see today we've got to follow our Lord's command to love our enemies. In other words, treat them with respect, treat them with love. They won't all come round. We'll still be vilified, but we will win many more than just answering in kind. We must never
return
evil with evil.
Right. It's not sufficient here to win this debate from a academic standpoint or historical standpoint. We have to win the hearts and minds of enough people to turn America back to the source of its greatness, because if not, we may win the argument but lose the country.
No, exactly right. And I think part of that is actually prayer and even spiritual warfare, because there are principalities and powers at stake. The evil is not just human evil that we're facing today. You can see global evils that really have to be taken on with spiritual opposition you know, as well as powerful arguments, and above all, living lives that have integrity and really trying to follow Jesus in the whole way we live and not just speak.
Yeah, that's extremely important, Dr. Guinness, and I think in our final moments together, that's, I want to kind of bring this even closer to our listeners and what they can do. Yes, we need those leaders, and we'll certainly be encouraging some and being a part of that of calling the nation back to those founding principles. But what can the moms and dads do that are listening here today? What can the young people who, you know, feel like they're swimming upstream culturally, whether they're in high school or college, because I know we have a lot of them that listen, what can they do to preserve this unique liberty that we know as American freedom?
Well, Tony, I was just reading our Lord's words recently. When these things happen, stand up and raise your heads. In other words, we've got to move onto the front foot. The scandal of this country is that followers of Jesus are actually a huge majority, but often it's tiny minorities who have much more cultural influence than we do. And many Christians are on the back foot. And we need to remember that God is greater than all. He can be trusted in all situations, even the present crisis. Have faith in God. Have no fear. Move out. We've got to live differently and speak out with love and respect for the challenging confrontation of the issues. Truth will prevail. And that's one of the big challenges, to move out, to throw the demoralization, the discouragement, and all these things, and move on to the front foot, trusting in the gospel. And this is actually a great moment, because all the great challenges of our time have no answer apart from the answers we see in the Jewish and Christian scriptures.
Yeah, we've got the answers. We just have to have the courage to share them. Dr. Oz Guinness, I want to thank you for being so generous with your time in joining us today. What's the best way that folks can get a copy of your book, Last Call for Liberty?
Well, probably Amazon.com is the cheapest one they can get hold of, unless it's a local bookstore. But I'm very grateful to you, Tony. By all means, just call me Oz.
Well, we are, again, excellent work. I don't do this often. In fact, I can probably count on one hand the time that I've spent an entire program on one book. But I think this is such a timely and important work, really putting a fine point on the crisis that is before America. So I thank you for doing this. And I often find that, Oz, quite frankly, those that were not born here who came to America have a greater appreciation for what we have than those of us who were born and raised here.
Well, you know, you remember Rudyard Kipling, what do they know of England, who only England know? You know, it's, you see things freshly as a foreigner that strikes you in ways that, you know, the old Chinese saying, the last person to ask about water is the fish. It only knows water, it doesn't know water. And many Americans don't understand their own wonderful country as well as they should. You can see so clearly as a visitor.
Yeah, and it also helps to have the accent you have. People tend to listen to that better than a Southern accent.
No, you do a great job, Tony. Keep on.
All right. Dr. Oz Guinness, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you on the program. Look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you. My privilege.
Dr. Oz Guinness, author of Last Call for Liberty, of How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. And I really would encourage you to read this book. It's well worth the time to read it. And I think, again, it puts a very, very sharp point on the crisis that is before us. And in our few moments left together, I do want to challenge you, moms and dads, to, no matter where you are with your children, maybe they're in elementary school, junior high school, maybe they're grown, maybe you got grandkids, does not matter. Look, this is a crisis. It really is. We could lose America and the freedom that we have. In fact, we're losing it. I wrote about this recently, similar issue, wrote about this. It was on FoxNews.com regarding the whole issue of the shootings and the call for gun control. You know, we're focused on the symptoms and not the source. You know, we want to restrict guns, but we fail to have a conversation about the lack of morality, this moral vacuum that's been created because, as Oz points out in his book about the golden triangle of freedom, we've essentially taken off an element, two elements of the triangle, virtue and religion. We can't have virtue without faith. As George Washington pointed out, as I mentioned earlier, morality and religion. And I know we think, well, you know, this we can just keep going on. I really do think we're at a point, or we'll soon be at that point, where the momentum that we have that has been carrying us this far is going to run out. That we have to return to the source of America's greatness so that we can basically refuel and continue forward, if the Lord tarries, as a nation that does embrace and offer true freedom. Because little by little, we're losing our freedoms as a result of the loss of morality. And one side's going to win this. This is it's for all the marbles. Now, obviously, we want to prevail and see America return, but that's not to gloat and say that we've won an election or that we have won a debate, but rather it's so that all people can benefit from the freedom. The world has benefited from the freedom that America offers, the prosperity that has come forth as a result of this freedom that has benefited the entire world. All of that's at stake. Don't think that that will just continue. So it's essential that America return to the source of the greatness. And America's great because America was good, because America pursued that which was true and transcendent. And so parents, students, look, be willing to stand up. Go against the flow. I mean, literally, the future of our country depends on it. Depends on believers, those that have an understanding that there is truth and that truth is worth standing for. It has both temporal and eternal consequences. All right, folks, that's it for today in this special edition, but I would encourage you, pick up a copy, Last Call for Liberty by Dr. Oz Guinness. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6. Where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.